الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable ulama, respected hufaz, beloved brothers and elders, we all know we've entered the month of Sha'ban. In a month's time will be the Mubarak month of Ramadan. It's every one of our desire, وَبَلِّغْنَا Ramadan, as taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, enable us to reach the Mubarak month of Ramadan. In order for us to get to Ramadan and take full advantage, we recite the du'as long in advance on the month of Rajab. O Allah, put barakah in Rajab and Sha'ban and allow us to reach the month of Ramadan. As though Rajab and Sha'ban are the months for us to warm up, in order that when Ramadan comes, we already in motion, the engines are heated up, we can take full advantage and full benefit. When you want to take that benefit, we all know we got to go in. But at the same time, every human being knows deep down. This has been explained by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kullu bani adam khata'un. Every single human, it's natural, it's normal, it's human to fall into error, to fall into mistakes, to commit things and do things we don't want to always do, but we slip at times. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَائِينَ التَّوَابُونَ. But the best of those who slip, who make mistakes, are those who make amends and want to fix things up. So how do we fix things up? We all know we may have slipped, but we need to get things going and put things right. And there's only one way that we're going to turn to Allah and fix those things up, is by turning to Allah Ta'ala in Tawbah. Now regarding this one action that we can focus on, brothers, we all know we may have some dark history. We may have some dark days, some dark nights, some bad things we may have done. We need to cover up for those. If we've done anything wrong, we need to cover up, clear up that history, clear up that dirt and that blockage, and then go to with ease and comfort and gain maximum benefit. If we've done wrong to any human, we're going to ask that person for forgiveness. And thereafter, a very effective deed that we can carry out in order for us to gain maximum benefit is one simple deed we'll speak about today. Before going to that deed, let's revise a hadith. Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah records or reports on the authority of Anas radiallahu anhu, when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala created the earth began to shiver, to vibrate, to wobble, to move. In order to create stability, Allah sent down a stabilizer. The stabilizer was the mountains. The moment Allah put the mountains on the earth stopped vibrating, it became stable and firm. The malaika were amazed. What a strong creation is this, that by its mere presence on the earth, the whole earth which is so vast, now became stable. They asked Allah, O Allah, is there any creation of yours that's greater and stronger than the mountains? Allah replied, yes, stronger than the mountains, I've got a creation known as steel, because steel cuts through rock. Anything stronger than steel? Allah replies, yes. Stronger than steel is fire, because fire will melt steel. Anything stronger than fire? Yes. Water. What stronger than water? Allah replies, yes, stronger than water is wind, because wind will move and control that water. After explaining all these huge, strong creations, one by one, that Allah has sent down to the earth, the malaika then asked, stronger than all these creations, even stronger than wind that beat everything else, is there anything stronger than that? Allah replies, yes. What's stronger than all of that? Allah Ta'ala says, Ibn Adam, tasaddaqa sadaqatan biyameenihi yukfiha min shimalihi. Stronger than all these superpowers placed on the earth, stronger than all that is a human being who engages in one deed. He gives sadaqah with his right hand, concealing it from his left hand. He gives out sadaqah, but how? Allah doesn't just say he is giving sadaqah. Allah says and describes the way in which he gives it. He gives it with such feeling, with so much of heart, with so much of essence and ruh in that, that he gives it in a way that no one knows about it. It's all quiet, it's hush, it's concealed. This is stronger than any force. Why? Why is this stronger than fire? Why is it stronger than rock? Stronger than steel, water and wind? Because this is the only force on earth that can extinguish and put off the anger of Allah. The only force on earth, nothing else. When Allah is angry, you can't fight, you can't combat, you can't do anything to Allah's anger by using any force on earth. But what you can do is give sadaqah, and the anger of Allah will be extinguished. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Inna sadaqata la tudfi'u ghadab ar-rabb wa tadfa'u maytat as-su'." When you give sadaqah, sadaqah extinguishes Allah's anger. And sadaqah also repels and pushes away an evil death. We see people passing away. We hear of people. We receive these messages. We look at the masjid board, and every day, every second day, every week, there's someone's name that's being put on. And then sometimes you find a man passes away, but he's got a brilliant death, a remarkable death, an enviable death. Such a death that when we hear how he passed away, we make dua, we get a death like that also. He passes away on a Friday. He passes away in Medina Munawwara. He passes away whilst in Sajda. He passes away in such a brilliant way. One way to get this brilliant death, to be saved from an evil death, is to give sadaqah, to give some type of charity for the sake of Allah, and see how everything will work out for you. Sometimes we give charity, and sometimes we feel that if we're giving charity, the charity has to be of an extremely high level. We've got to give millions. We've got to give thousands. We've got to feed 100 or 200 people. Let's remove that thought and get out of that misconception. Sadaqah is not restricted to large amounts. Rather, what's more important in the sadaqah is the heart and the feeling that we put into that sadaqah. It may be something small. It may be one loaf of bread. It may be one rand. One person may be giving 1,000, 10,000, 1,000,000 rand. If he's giving it, mashallah, very good. But that shouldn't put us off, because what's more important than the amount you're giving is the heart you're giving it with. The feeling you're giving it with. This is more important. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains, there'll be one person who'll give what? He'll give the amount in charity equivalent to a date, to one khajur. He'll give one khajur, or he'll give something equivalent to one khajur. But he gave it with such a heart. He gave it from pure wealth with a pure heart. Allah will look after that one khajur to the extent when he comes on the day of Qiyamah, that one khajur, that one date will be converted into mountains. He'll get mountains of reward just because of one date, because of the way he gave it. Now, if you look in the past, there were people who did simple actions. And these simple actions, it was outwardly a small amount, but that small amount went so far, it saved them in such a large way, that it's mind-boggling. There was a person, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he was passing away, he made wasiyah to his sons, Ya Baniya, where he said, Ya Bunayya, to his son, that udhkuru sahib al-raghif, always call to mind, remember the man and the roti, the man and the bread. So he said, what are you referring to? So he explained, there was a man in former times from the Banu Israel who devoted his life to one little building, like how we would have a musalla or a jamaat khana or a masjid. At that time there was a monastery or a church. He goes into that monastery, goes into seclusion, and he engages in ibadat for 70 years. He never would come out of that place. His entire day, his night would be dedicated to serving his Rabb. He wouldn't come out. The only day he would come out was on a Sunday. He would come out on a Sunday, see to his necessary needs, and then return to his monastery. One Sunday he came out, and his eyes fell on a very beautiful woman. He was infatuated, he was taken aback by the beauty of this woman. And that night he didn't return to his monastery. He went and spent that night with this woman. He engaged in zina. For the next 7 days he didn't come back to his monastery. He engaged in zina with this woman for seven days and seven nights. After 7 days, he comes back to his senses and he realizes what he did. He was remorseful, regretful over the action that he did. And every step he took, he was crying before Allah. He was performing salah, he was falling down into sajda. Until he grew weak, he was hungry, but he was overwhelmed with this thought that what wrong did I do, crying to Allah in tawbah. Eventually he comes onto a certain place, a platform, or a certain house, in which 12 poor people, 12 destitute used to stay. He also comes, he's the 13th person. These 12 people also, they had no means of livelihood. Every day, one man would come, one well-wisher, he would bring 12 loaves of bread, and he would feed them these loaves that would last them for the entire day. This man comes, and this person who was engaged in ibadat, and he made a mistake, he's the 13th person. The person brings his 12 loaves of bread and he distributes it. But one of those 12 people didn't get his loaf because there were 13 here today. So he goes up and he complains that, why didn't I get my bread? The man says, count the bread. He count the bread, there's 12 loaves. He said, I brought my 12. Why are you stealing? It's impossible, you never get yours. So this person who engaged in that zina, who was engaged in ibadat for 70 years, he realized that he took someone else's loaf. He needed the loaf. He was hungry, he was in need. But then he said, never mind, let me pass this loaf on because I came into their territory. He passed the loaf on and he remained hungry. Not long after this, he passes away. When he's brought before Allah, his 70 years of ibadat are brought forward. And then the 7 days and seven nights of zina that he committed to that woman are also brought. And the 7 days of zina outweigh the 70 years of ibadat. 70 years of ibadat are cast aside because of the 7 days of zina. And then, the one loaf of bread is brought. The one loaf of bread is brought that he shared. It wasn't even his share. But he gave that as sadaqah when he was hungry and he needed it. That one loaf wiped out the 7 days and seven nights of zina. One loaf of bread. He was not a wealthy man. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, kullu ma'arufin sadaqah. Any act of kindness is regarded as sadaqah. It'll wipe out your sins. It'll be recorded as reward for you in the akhirat. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a great man. He was a khalifa of Islam. He was extremely wealthy. He gave so much for Allah's sake that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this man has given so much. Today, whatever he does after today will not harm him in the least. He is certified Jannah. This was Uthman radiallahu anhu. One man comes up to him and he complains that you wealthy people, you'll have superseded, you'll have gone so far ahead of us because you'll assist people in going for Hajj. You'll spend in the path of Allah when people are going in jihad. You'll give so much of sadaqah, so much of charity. You'll feed people. You'll spend thousands of rand. And we poor people, we can't come anywhere near what you all are doing. Uthman radiallahu anhu says, do you envy us? Do you really envy the reward? Let me tell you something. He says, by the qasam of Allah, Uthman radiallahu anhu says, by the qasam of Allah, that one dirham, your one coin that you are giving, is better than a person who's giving 10,000 dirhams. When that one coin, you desperately need that for yourself. But you gave it, you were kind enough to give it to someone else. It's better than the man who's giving 10,000 coins when he got another 10,000 he got to rely on. He got another 10,000 he's going to go back to. But your one coin is so much more rewarding when you need that coin. This is called juhdul muqil. Rasulullah SAW explained, when you give, you're going through difficulty, but your heart is kind enough to share what you have with the next man. This is the most rewarding sadaqah. Whatever you have, you're giving it out to that person. Never mind. There was one person, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu narrates, he says, this story I heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not once, not twice. He began counting 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, not even 7 times. I heard it on multiple occasions. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained the incident of a man from the Banu Israel. His name was Kifl. Kifl led a life of sin. He led a life of haram. His day was in haram, his night was in haram. One day Kifl wanted to commit zina with a certain woman. It was a very beautiful woman. He approached her and she said, I'm not going to allow you to share the bed with me until you give me 60 gold coins. 60 gold coins, 60 dinars. If we equate that in today's time, could be about 30 or 40,000 rand. So this man worked hard. Kifl worked hard to gain the 60 gold coins until one day he collects all 60. He's got them in a bag and now he goes up to this woman and he tells her, I've got the 60 gold coins. So she takes him into privacy. She takes him into a private chamber. And as he's about to commit the haram act, this girl, this beautiful girl begins crying. She breaks out into a shiver. Kifl is confused. He says, what has happened to you? Have I hurt you? No. Am I forcing you to engage in any act? No. Then what has happened? She says, I only agreed to engage in this haram act with you because I've got no other form of livelihood. I've got many dependents. I need the cash. But I'm about to carry out an action that's going to anger my Rabb. I've never done this before. I'm going to do a haram that I've never done. I cannot tolerate doing this. Kifl was shocked. He said, if you are so apprehensive from doing this action, it's a reminder for me. Let me leave it out. I'm also not going to do this action. But the 60 gold coins that I gave you, keep it. I'm not going to take that back. If you are desperate and you need it, keep the coins. That very day, Kifl passes away. Kifl leaves this world. The next day, the entire town, they witness written on the door of Kifl, غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لِلْكِفْرِ. Allah has forgiven Kifl for all the wrong that he's done. Every sin was committed, every sin was forgiven because of the sadaqah this man gave. Remember, sometimes we think we have to give big amounts, some small amount. We never know where it will go and how it will benefit us. You don't need to be wealthy to be generous. You don't have to have wealth. You don't have to have a thick bank balance or a thick wallet. You have to be kind at heart. When you're kind at heart and you give whatever you can, Allah is looking at what you're giving and how you're giving it, not the amount that you're giving. If you're giving a big amount, very good. But even a small amount that you have, you've got something small, you're about to eat your meal, but you sacrificed it for someone. You gave it to someone. This goes such a long way, and this helps wipe out our gunas and our sins. We are now going to the month of Ramadan. We need to be in order. In the month of Ramadan, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extremely generous. He was generous at all times, but extreme more in the month of Ramadan. So as we're going to go and be preparing, let us clear our balances by giving the sadaqat. Who knows whether we'll reach the month of Ramadan. Allah take us to the month of Ramadan. But we prepare ourselves. These little actions, these look like small actions, but these go such a long way in the sight of Allah. A person in the time of Nabi Sani alayhi salam, he was a man who committed a lot of evil. He troubled people. He used to inconvenience them until the time came the people were fed up. They were upset with this man. They came to Salih alayhi salam and he said, oh Nabi of Allah, make dua that Allah suffices us from the evil of this man. Salih alayhi salam probably makes dua and he tells them, don't worry, you've been sufficed against his evil. You've been taken care of. So this man's habit was every morning he would go into the jungle, he would chop wood and come back. People saw him leaving and they were convinced this man is not going to come back alive. He's going to come back, he's going to be dead. But to their amazement, after a few hours he comes back, he returns. People were shocked.
Salih alayhi salam told us, we are going to be sufficed against his evil, but this man is still walking free, he's still walking well. So Salih alayhi salam calls him and he asks him, how are you, where's your wood? He says, he got a bundle of wood. He leaves his wood on the floor. Salih alayhi salam tells him, tell me how you spent your morning today. So he says, this morning I got up and I prepared, or I had two rotis or two loaves of bread. I needed one and there was a beggar who wanted another one. I shared my bread with the beggar. Salih alayhi salam then tells him, alright, open your bundle of wood. When the bundle of wood was opened, there were logs that were there, and in that bundle, there was a thick snake that looked like a log. That snake was in the bundle, but it was biting another piece of wood. Salih alayhi salam then addressed him and saying, the snake was meant to bite you. The snake was supposed to bite you, it was supposed to kill you. But Allah shifted the snake from biting you and put the bite of the snake on the log because of the one loaf of bread you gave this morning. So that one loaf goes a very long way. Wherever we can, whoever we can share with, whatever we have. It may be something small, it may be a simple small thing, but give it with the right heart. Not boasting over it, not showing off, not making an advertisement of what we've given, and see how that will take us and help us in this world, in the qabr and the akhirat. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the ability to spend for His sake, to spend with the correct heart and the correct mind and the correct feeling, and Allah grant us the tawfiq to practice on the points mentioned. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.